right, and we are back. And right now in the studio, we have the two-piece indie rock band from New York City, Monk Tammany, with us today. You guys played a sold-out show last night with Highly Suspect, which I went to, and it was an amazing, amazing show. Like, props to you guys for sure. You guys have an insane stage presence, and honestly, I can't even say, I don't know if I can really say any much more. I mean, you guys just killed it. You guys really just killed it. So, yeah, do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'm Joe from Monk Tammany. I play drums and also sing.
And I'm TJ. I sing and play guitar. So we are the band. There's no third guy about to get on the mic. It's a two-piece.
All right, and so, like, how was playing 930 Club? Have you guys played there before? Like, a lot of bands really say they really love it, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, they were credited for being one of the best venues in America. How was that for you guys?
I think it is. We recently just did a tour, a summer, full U.S. summer tour that we did. We played a lot of great venues, and a lot of big venues, a few sold-out shows. But 930 is cool. It's one of my favorite venues. Just everyone's so nice, the whole staff, like, everyone's on top of their things, and they give you free cupcakes. You have cupcakes.
If you sell it out. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've always seen bands that get the cupcakes, and that's like the one thing they post like all the time.
Yeah. So if you're wondering, because I went in on the cupcakes, there was a photo of six, and then it became a photo of five. So for anyone wondering, it was me. And I'll tell you, the topping of the cupcake was really tasty. But you got to take a quick bite because there's cream inside. There's a big surprise, like white cream center. So you're going to get it all over yourself if you're not aptly prepared.
And the secret is, if you're doing two nights in a row like we're doing, we save three cupcakes and put them in the fridge. So when we get the second ones now, we have more cupcakes.
Yeah, smart, exactly. Smart man.
Sorry if you're hearing that, 930 Club. Just gave my secrets away.
And so you mentioned your tour last summer. Yeah. How was that for you guys? Like, do you guys have any, like, in particular favorite cities that you guys played in?
Oh, man, it was awesome. Met a lot of good people. The band, obviously, Highly Suspect, we're touring with. We're close friends of ours. They, you know, treat us like brothers and took care of us. And, you know, and we did our thing. Favorite cities? I don't know. There's a few of them that we've never been to. Like, I've never been to Kansas City, Peoria, I didn't know exactly where that was at until we got there, and I was like, hell, all right.
I think we had a great time, and pretty much there was not one city where we were kind of disappointed in terms of the show and the crowd and the, you know, it's the summertime, people are excited to come out to concerts.
Yeah, yeah.
It was pretty much a sold out run all the way through. A couple of the places that I remember Joe and I, you know, discussing that were we had a great time in, Pittsburgh was one. The crowd was great. We got to stay an extra night while the headliners drove from Saturday night to Peoria to get an off day Sunday. We kind of hung back and I'd say kind of checked out the city and checked out some stuff during the day. So we got a real feel for it.
We went to a Pirates game.
There were people who were at the show the night before. We kind of bumped into people who were...
Bought us some beers.
Yeah, rocking out. And Milwaukee was another spot that... We kind of, because of the way the tour went, had to spend a few extra days in, and we loved it. There was a skate park that was amazing. You guys were running the bikes and skates.
Bad idea. Do not try to skate a bowl on tour.
Yeah, well,
while having a few beers in you.
Yeah.
The foam pit was fun, though.
Yeah.
Nice. And so I know you guys went over it last night a little bit, but how did you, like, the two of you guys meet? And really just start playing music?
TJ and I met years ago. We've all been in separate bands, and I used to bartend at a place where he used to come and DJ, and he had his band and I had a band, and we'd always play with each other and just hang out. And then started out, you know, us playing together and getting more into that, just playing with each other.
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Playing music together in a musical sense. And then after that, you know, TJ started writing some stuff, and, you know, we've been in bands where it's like 5-7 piece bands, and it's just so tough to just keep everything together and everybody on the same schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
So we decided, you know, TJ started writing some stuff, showed it to me, and I said, hey, you should record it. And he's like, yeah. And it kind of started as a kind of a recording project. And then I said, hey, man, why don't we just play it live? He's like, just the two of us? And I said, yeah, man, you know, I can sequence sounds and stuff like that. And, you know, if we decide to pick a little buddy up on the way, we can.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we could still play these songs. So we did our first show. This was, what, 3 years ago, basically, when we started the project? Yep. And we played our first show, like a secret show in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And then TJ was going to L.A. On vacation with his lady. And so I decided I was going to take my lady on vacation to L.A., and that was the plan. But although TJ and I talked about it, I said, hey, we should do a show in L.A. We should do some shows in L.A. Yeah. So we were going on, quote, unquote, vacation with our ladies together. But we actually had booked shows top secret in L.A.
Well, not anymore now that this is a national broadcast. So. Oh, yeah. And I will be sleeping on the couch.
I just keep giving secrets away.
Cats out the bag now.
Yeah. So we did that. And then after that, we came back, finished recording, and then started playing shows. Started doing some touring, played South by a couple times, and then
I'll pick it up from here. And then Joe actually decided he was going to move out west, having been to LA, and said, "Look, you know, I think, you know, the girl and I we're gonna stay out there." So he had just pressed the vinyl, and we had just done a run. I kind of was a little confused. Well, wait, you're going to be in LA and I'm going to be in New York. Yeah, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to make it work. We're going to play both coasts. And I just kind of thought, all right, well, this is going to be strange, but okay. And it's actually worked out better than all the bands we've been in where we were in New York. And Joe was mentioning that he was bartending in a place that I used to DJ in, but it's not dissimilar or unsimilar to most music scenes where a lot of the bands know each other, you know, and one person will play in this person's band. And if you go through history, I mean, Chrissy Hynde once tried out for The Clash, you know, and you say, wow, that's crazy. Yeah, well, the Pretenders were rehearsing next door. Yeah. So it's so Joe and I had been in different bands, and all the way through four or five different bands up until this point, when we got to this point and got to two people and he was out moving out there, I was saying, man, we've been through so much and so many different formats of him jumping in a project I was doing and him jumping over here and I'm over there. And it's crazy to think that we'd have to make that kind of challenge for ourselves. But it's, as I said, it almost, in a weird way, I mean, it's 2018. You can kind of do anything, right? Yeah. I mean, it pushed us, and there we were getting more done by not being able to fall back on the fact that we were just next to each other, mm-hmm. and finding this, like, comfort in proximity. So the work seemed to speed up more once that happened than meeting up at the coffee shop to get ready to go rehearse in New York.
And I mean, going to New York to from New York to LA, vice versa, it's like an Uber ride, you know what I mean? And
it's a long run in traffic from here to
you
know,
no,
DC.
Exactly. It's like driving down from DC from New York in a car, but you're So we just stayed in touch, and then just obviously, and kept sending like stuff back to each other, back and forth, and basically writing songs on both sides of the coast.
Yeah,
nice. And speaking like of writing songs, like, so how is like your like writing process? Do you guys like, if like something's coming along when you guys are jamming or something, do you guys just let it flow and then kind of see where that goes, or is it like you guys have an idea and just go with it?
It's kind of both, really. I mean, TJ will, you know, write stuff and he'll send it to me, and like, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. We'll take parts from it and do arrangements to it. Or sometimes we'll be at the studio and then we'll just, you know, in between like rehearsals, you know, between our set, and we'll just, he'll start playing something and I'll play along with it. And then we just,
yeah, we try and I like to write. So some things won't always fit, you know, the song, the style, either your project's in at the time or the style for the project. So things that I think are fitting well, or, you know, like I tell Joe, hey, man, you know, I'm going to send four or five ideas, you know, kind of figure on one that you think's working for the tempo or feel we're in now. You want something down tempo? You want something that's just moving quick? And he'll be like, yo, that second one, let's start working on that one. So, yeah, that's one way we do it. And then Joe just mentioned we were out in Venice a few weeks ago coming off that summer run, and we went into the studio. We have a studio out there, and just kind of just joking around with some little beat we had messing around with. Joe started hitting a drum beat. Mm-hmm. I came up with a riff, and I try to always, if we're doing that, get a second part if we think it's grooving, and then record it. And now I've put lyrics to it, and you know, it'll be something that where I think we can definitely work with. We were just cruising out. He's like, wow, you know, it'll take growth from there. A lot of times that's what'll happen, is you'll get it to that place where you think it's a song you can record, but then from that point on, you got to really take it up another 25%. But I think we're in that pocket right now where for that one, we're 3/4 of the way there, you know, and now we just got to make it even better.
You know, polish it a little bit. I definitely, I feel that. Cause I mean, and just various bands that I've played in, it's very different. Cause one band will be like, just want to let it flow. And the other band's really like, I want to start writing things. And it's kind of like, it almost feels a little bit like pushed, but like the end result is still like pretty good. At least in my opinion, like I really like these polished.
Well, everybody works different ways. There's some people work well under pressure, and there's some people just don't like to be pressured. Some people will just let it, you know, obviously, like natural ways of things. And then there's other people that kind of have to, like, I need to work. I need to do this. I need to do this.
Yeah. Also, I think, too, if you're like a working band, you're going to be in a few different situations. One of them is you don't have to put songs in. Maybe if you're on a tour, you know, people are expecting you to do kind of the stuff that they're hearing. But then there are going to be these times when, you know, the truth is deadlines do come.
Oh, yeah.
And people will expect of you, you know, different sounds. Hey, you know, these guys want to hear a few more songs. What else you got? So I think if you're one of those people out there playing music and you're sitting back going, I'm going to do everything on my own time, you can do that, but you might at some points run the risk of some people going, hey, you know what? We have our own timeline for you.
Yeah.
And you got to acclimate sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Dang. So another question that I have is, so your sound, from what I've heard, it's really kind of blues influenced, if that's correct. I mean, that's kind of what I took away from it, like at least from like last night and the stuff that I've been listening to. So was that the sound you guys kind of were going for, or like was like, do you guys have a different intention for this sound, or was it really just like it just kind of happened?
I think that there's definitely a dirty blues aspect to it. Like if you can take something with a groove beat, color it up, and have a bass where you can dig in soulfully with the vocal, you're probably in a neighborhood where a bluesy progression, you're kind of knowing where the familiarity of the chord will go. So I think for my own self, like writing, there's not a lot of times when I'm writing where I go, you know what, I want to hit this chord that's so far out of where you think it's going to go just because I want to do that.
Yeah.
I'd rather almost go naturally to where the story or the vocal wants to go. And then if it is something that, you know, blues progressions have been done since the beginning of musical time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we dress it up differently. Oh, so then we might try and, you know, color it in a way where we're not just handing over this, you know,
add our own texture to it.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll have a foundation maybe of that. So we recognize where that is and then try and be interesting in the way we're coloring it or tricking out, you know, dynamics, I think.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that with your set last night. They're just songs that it did have that blues kind of sound, but you guys added your own, like, paint to it, I guess, if you will. Yeah, like, it sounded really nice, and I commend you guys for that. I love when artists can just put their own little twist to it, because then it makes it unique in their own.
Yeah, thank you. Much appreciated.
Yeah, of course. And so the one question that I have is, so where'd you guys get the name from? Who came up with it? How?
You don't remember the TV show Monk Tammany?
No.
From the 70s? No.
It was this guy. It was a cop show. No. It was it was something we kind of wanted to have a character that you almost, if you didn't know it, you'd think it was someone in the band. Hey, there's that guy.
Oh, okay.
So just in combining a couple ideas of maybe some, you know, criminal goings on downtown in the turn of the century. New York is, you know, renowned for the five points and all the gangs down there and the Bowery Boys. And it's got a history. There's a lot of colorful characters, and one of them's name was Monk Eastman, who he was a Jewish gangster who tried to like clean himself up during World War I. I think he enlisted actually to kind of get on the good side of things, and then when he came back out, Prohibition kind of roped him back in, and he got caught in some rough areas. And then Tammany Hall was kind of a headquarters for I believe it was the Democratic Party, and they you know, it was like kickback favors for this. Only in the I believe in the 50s or 60s did it get kind of knocked down by just, you know, people kind of onto it. So in putting it together and kind of changing the way Tammany was written, to I like the O better than the A and the NN. It just looked a little nicer across. We felt like it was the character that we kind of wanted to come out with, you know.
There's so many stories for so many different bands and how they got their name. And I think that was probably the most interesting that I've heard. I don't really, like, I have nothing to say. It's just so interesting. I mean, coming up
with a band name, I mean, you have to, it's tricky. I mean, we talk about it all the time. We were talking about it even on the drive out here. You know, you hope that you have something that people can remember and it sticks with.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, then on the back way, you know, it's nice to have some depth to the meaning too. I mean, definitely. You could have this nice word that flows and hasn't been done before. When someone says, you know, why is your band called this? Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, some people have probably just gotten away with just throwing a
just like a random thing out there. I mean, story.
It's sometimes tough.
I remembered Hoobastank.
Yeah, Hoobastank.
Yeah. Did you guys ever go through any band names before landing on Monk Tammany? Oh man, let's try out that.
I think we did. We were at the bar. I think we might have written.
We probably did. I think we probably at one point, if you go back and we probably look back in our, you know, emails or everything's recorded now, right? So you probably look back at old emails or something. There would probably be some names sitting around. I know for, you know, when Joe was talking about it, when I showed him the stuff, it was around Christmas a few years back. And it wasn't long before the band was playing shows, March and April, and we were already pressing vinyl at that. We did it at the same time. So there wasn't a lot of time. I didn't come over to him and say, hey, look, you know, I got this idea. And by the way, I got a band name set up already and a logo, and it did not move like that. So, but I did know that, you know, I think coming out with a fictitious character of not such good standing in New York, it felt like a good way to kind of at least put a stamp on it, you know.
It's like our cover of the EP vinyl that we put out, there's a guy there in like a 3-point stand.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people were like, oh, Monk Tammany. So that's Monk Tammany, you know? And we're like, yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's what you want it to be.
That's what you want it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, who are your biggest influences? Just people you really like grew up listening to, maybe got you into music?
Well, I mean, you know, we probably have a joy for things that span a long time, right? So or what you, I don't know if you consider a long time, but certainly like the beginnings of rock and roll, right? Yeah. The 60s, Joe and I even once DJed this 1960s go-go party. Wow. It was a go-go party. And all we played was, you know, things from the Animals, the Kinks, garage bands, the Seeds, the Sonics, soul bands, the Spencer Stax Records stuff.
Spencer
Davis group. Yeah, so we had that kind of stuff, you know. I would say the when we joke around the newer bands, we'd say from 2000 on, you know. When you look at the history of rock and roll, you know, it's a blip on the screen sometimes. Yeah. So I'd say what, Joe? Like, you know, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Kasabian. Like,
yeah, Kasabian, Temples.
We like Noel Gallagher's
new record. Noel Gallagher's new record is pretty good. Noel Gallagher.
Yeah.
High Flying Birds.
Yeah. I think everyone's got those things that they you know, or unique to
your
them.
Your side band.
Yeah, your side band or your favorite.
Side piece, you know?
Or your guilty favorite.
Pleasure. Your guilty
pleasure. Yeah, your guilty pleasure, retro band. I think, and Joe knows this, I told him this recently, just like in gearing up for all these shows, a way to stay in like vocal shape, I made this huge playlist of Deep Purple songs.
Nice.
Because between Ian Gillan and a young David Coverdale, who was in Whitesnake, at the time he took over for Gillan, the vocals were, and they had a third guy, named Glenn Hughes, who played bass. And when they switched from Ian Gillan and you know, the Smoke on the Water era Mark II, when they went to Mark III, they had two singers and they both had great ranges. So I don't know if, you know, anyone walking around GMU right now is like going to crank a Deep Purple Stormbringer track, but the vocals are really fun to try and kind of hang with. So I've been kind of caught in this, like,
but if you do, let us know.
But yeah. If you do, yeah, send us a clip.
Yeah.
Playing one of the songs and singing it.
Oh, my God.
At Monk Tammany on Instagram. And TJ just went and saw Wayne Kramer from MC5 back in New York. Was it their 50, his 50th
anniversary? Yeah, so, I don't know if, you know, a lot of people would be too privy to them on campus unless they may have been following the lineage of punk rock, mm-hmm. right? So they're called, like, the proto-punk pioneers. So the MC5 and Iggy Pop and the Stooges both came out of Detroit in the late 60s and both signed to Elektra. And the MC5 got Iggy signed because they always played together. They said, well, yeah. If you like us, you like our friends' band. And they ended up in this wild three-album career that kind of culminated in the 1968 Democratic Convention that was outside when it was obviously notable that the cops were beating the daylights out of people, and it was seen on TV and all this. Well, the MC5 played it. They were outside, and half the band didn't really want to get political, but the other guys were like kind of caught up in the energy that was going on. And anyway, it was the 50-year anniversary of the first album called Kick Out the Jams, and what only two members are alive out of five, and Wayne Kramer's the legendary guitarist of the band. He couldn't get his drummer to go, but they had a bass player from Faith No More, the guitarist from Soundgarden, and a great singer. It was inspiring. It was fun to see. It was fun to, you know, hear the songs. I mean, obviously you can't go back in time, but you could feel the energy. I mean, we were talking walking in here. Be very interesting to be in school right now with all the changing and everything going on in DC, and just so it only played into certainly his show based on them going through that. It almost circled back, so you can kind of feel it a little bit.
And kind of going off of what we were talking about a little earlier, just like the new bands coming out, like who are you guys listening to lately? Like, are there any like bands that stick out to you?
I've been listening to a lot of like Temples, Fruit Bats
we like.
Fruit Bats is pretty good. New Kasabian's pretty good.
Barnes Courtney,
you like that track?
If you listen to a couple of those tracks,
yeah,
we like that.
That's pretty much.
I wouldn't say also, you know, it's like it's something where, especially when you're writing and playing, you kind of dip and dive into what came from beyond, you know, in the past, and what's hitting now. I think there was certainly a time, you know, every time The Enemy came out, every time there was a new playlist, we would but there's so much coming out now that, you know, and then in playing with bands and then seeing things pop off, they kind of filter to you, but I wouldn't say it's like you're handed 1,000 things or you're jumping to 1,000 new things. Because sometimes you're led down a side road and you go, geez, you know. So the bands we do like, we like them. We really, you know, stand behind them. So
that's really great to hear, man. And so this is like a really off topic question. You guys had mentioned Led Zeppelin a little bit. And this is like a newer band. Have you guys heard of Greta Van Fleet at all?
Yes.
What is your opinion on them?
Because I'm not a fan personally.
You're really not a fan?
If you're hearing this, I'm not a fan. Not into it at all.
And like, what about it? Is it just because?
I don't know. They're just like, like, it's like Led Zeppelin dressed as the Warriors and having a water balloon fight. I don't know. Not for me. I'm Joe, by the way, not TJ. You're hearing this. Come talk to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Greta Van Fleet, you know, it's tough. I try not to hit hard on, but, you know, like Led Zeppelin played a certain way, and it's certainly a pretty challenging thing to kind of get in that lane and go in there. The singer's hitting notes. The singer's he can definitely belt. So
no, yeah, that's just like one of the things I think everyone's kind of touched upon. Really, just the singer and his range, and really just how he just sounds almost exactly.
I saw Robert a few months ago.
He probably saw Robert Plant.
I mean, it's probably some festival out in LA.
Oh, really?
It's probably fair to say though, Plant can't hit that early Plant level like this kid can hit.
Oh yeah, definitely.
There's no. I mean, Robert Plant probably could not get up into that area right now.
No way.
I haven't seen Plant, but I'm hearing the way he's going.
And then you got Eric Burdon from the Animals, who sounds like when he was 17, but when he was 17, he sounded like he was like 70. Yeah. It's just so weird. I saw him. Yeah, it's insane. Like his voice, he he sounds like when he did, when he was like 17. But when he was 17, he sounded like he was an old man.
Yeah. And
it's like, it could be where you're living. It could be genes. I mean, yeah, but Eric Burdon, definitely, I saw him. He was hitting all that stuff.
It was
amazing.
Yeah.
That's really all the questions I have. Do you guys want to like give any shout outs, maybe plug your social media, say what you guys got going on right now?
Yeah, absolutely. We're mixing our record right now with our good friend Suna from the Ravenettes, who obviously did some of our stuff, and we're working with them doing that. We have a little batch of shows we're going to be doing in December and a tour in the springtime. But in the meantime, yeah, follow us on Instagram, all, you know, Facebook, social media, all that stuff.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be coming to an area near you, you know, and hit us up. We'd love to say hello, and like I said, hopefully see you at the next show.
Yeah, sweet. Thank you guys so much, honestly, taking the time out of your busy schedules and really just coming down here and hanging out, really having a conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.